Come on, let's get to business today. We're moving this, we're going to work. Come on, open up with me, please, to Luke. We're going to get into this, and I need you to clue into this because I need you to hear this. If you are high school or you're a college student, now, and I mean college student where you are in college, you're actually on a campus, or maybe you're home going to JCC or a community college or wherever you're at, but you're really of that college age, not 40 online. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a college student. If you're a high school student, if you're a parent of a high school student, or you're a parent of a college student, and you're here in this place this morning, this is one of those days that you need to make a decision. This will be one of those services that you will put a stake in the ground. Say, today's a day not to be forgotten. Because, gang, listen, please. Getting into ministry so many years ago, it started because of my just absolute love for teenagers and how teenagers are just so messed up. This was years ago, just broken and crushed. How college students were just broken and crushed. And now I work in the Allegheny PD and I see college students every Thursday and Friday night. Just a mess, just a wreck of what's going on. How the enemy has presented so many different things to these students, so many different things to our high school kids. And gang, please, I don't ever want to hear anyone say, well, there's always generation issues, which is true. It's the same as it was 20 years ago as it is today. That's absolute garbage. These teenagers today are fighting so much more than we had to. They have things just being thrown at them on purpose, over and over, things that were never thrown at us. They've got more opportunity for lust and sex than we've ever had. Listen, do you understand? You've got to get this as a teenager. You're in a completely different type of generation that your parents have ever seen. Because the enemy has just gotten a foothold. And man, you better listen, teenagers. Please hear this, man. Right off the bat, this is not be pure, don't have sex. This is be strong, be bold, be unashamed, be one who is steadfast and immovable. Understand what it is to be fearless and courageous. That's what this is today. Because you have gone through this series. This is the sixth message in the series. First one was on how Christ was just courageous and he was fearless. And what he did, and what an amazing example as a king. The second words were to the men. Show up, be a man, be strong, be fearless, lead with courage. That was powerful. And they're not even planned. The next four, including today, were all teenagers. Men and women in Scripture who held their ground as a teenager. Teenagers who held their ground amongst everyone else. Teenagers who refused to follow the current patterns. Teenagers who stood instead of bowing like everyone else. Teenagers who went right after Goliath when everyone else was in hiding. All the adults, the best soldiers, where this teenager shows up. So please hear this, teens. Please hear this, college students. No excuse. Your age is not an excuse for your fear. Your age is not an excuse. I hold you to a higher level than most. I say, listen, when I look at Scripture, I see those who gave their lives to Christ. I see they understood the role. They understood what it was to be strong. They, as a teenager, understood, man, if God is for me, who cares who's against me? There's no age to that. So today we're here to do business, and I need you to clue into this thing. Because I am going to pray over you, and then we are going to pray over the parents. Because we got to get our head out of the sand and realize this is a serious battle, man. This is a fight. And there is a point. There's a point in your life that you need to make that decision. You need to make that choice. Listen, if I am going to follow Christ, it's going to cost me something. You got to get that. This isn't lie, pops, and gumdrops, man. This is a real deal. That if you understand, if I am going to deny myself today, and I'm going to follow Christ, Jesus said, if you don't do that, if you don't deny yourself, Matthew 10, Jesus said, if you don't deny yourself and you can't follow after me, he says, you're not worthy of me. What lollipops and gumdrops is in that statement from our King? He says, it's going to cost you something. But then there's just something, man. There's something that happens. When your heart turns to that, one who is a teenager, one who's in college, God, your spirit reigns in me, and greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. And I can overcome, and I can be fearless, and I can be courageous, and I can stand firm, and I can be strong. Really, what can the world do to me? Father, please. God, please. God, by your spirit, that you would do something miraculous in this service, supernatural, today in this service. God, that we come to the close of this thing, God, your presence will be so strong in this place. God, that decisions, heart decisions are being made. Nothing fake, nothing surface. But God, a call. A call will be made today. God, that we go deep today. God, lives are changed today. God, please, only you can do. God, do only what you can do, please. Father, speak to us today. Man, I'm asking you in a serious way that you would say, God, speak to me. And God, I'll respond to this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, you see where we started with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. What Daniel said, man, these were teenagers who were ripped away from their families, knew nothing, taken to a foreign land as teens. And this food and this drink was presented to them that was possibly offered to false idols. They said, we cannot defile ourselves. We're not putting that. As teenagers, they stood against even what the king ordered. And they said, nope. Why? Because the Bible says in Daniel that Daniel made up his mind. Young people, have you made up your mind not to defile yourself? That's what Daniel said as a teenager with only a few going against everybody else. I can't do that. As a teenager, he made up his mind not to defile himself. And you see that the other three were involved in that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were involved in it. I want you to understand something. As a teenager, this is where this is today. As a teenager, they made that decision. And yet we see at 80 years old, Daniel was thrown in a lion's pit because he held his ground. From teenager making a decision, he made up his mind not to defile himself. And then at 80 years old, we see him make a stand for his God. And we see some years later, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as a teenager, they made up that same stand with Daniel. I will not defile myself. They made up their mind not to, and we see several years later, they take a stand not to bow or worship that image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. They said, nope. Even knowing that they were going to face a blazing fire, they knew. Nope. They make this amazing statement. Listen, our God is able. He's able to deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if he does not, our mind has been made up and we will never bow to any other God but him. Our mind has been made. Even if he doesn't, that doesn't change anything. Because he is still God and we are his. Gang, they made that decision as a teenager, living their lives. And then when the rubber really hit the road, man, what a serious time, life on the line, what are you going to do? That's what today's about. And then you see Esther, as a teenager, goes in to the king. And then 5 years later, she had to make a serious decision, folks. If I choose to do this, it could cost me my life. But my people's lives are on the line, which are God's people's lives are on the line. If I perish, I perish. Everything's a choice. You got to understand that everything is a choice. Parents, how you parent, your choice. Teenagers, how you live, the decisions you make, that's your choice. College student, the decisions you make, that's on you. It's a choice. And we look at our last and final character in this whole series. It's found in Luke, and she is found in Luke, and she's Mary. And you got to understand this, because this is such an incredible, wow story. that as a teenager, this angel shows up to this teenager who's betrothed, or what we would say engaged, but it went so much deeper than our engagement. This was a serious written out testament that I, like, it was kind of already married. The only way to separate from a betrothal was divorce. That's how serious this was. So her and Joseph were betrothed, man. They were ready to be married. They already committed their lives to one another, and they were ready. Not yet married. Not yet coming to that place, to that bedroom yet, because they have not yet been married. And then angel shows up to this teenage girl. And look at this. I want you to see this in Luke 1. It's amazing. Could you imagine trying to put yourself in her shoes? Verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Again, this is a teenager. Chosen by God to do something that no one ever on the planet could do. To never know the seed of a man and give birth. And she understood that. Because the angel goes on and tells her this. He said, "Listen, this, you got to understand this, man. Mary, you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Could you imagine, as a teenage girl, this angel is before speaking these truths into her life, that she's never heard anyone like this or looked like this show up in her teenage years and say, "Listen, Mary, all that you've read in the Old Testament, all the scriptures that have been spoke to you about that one Messiah who will come, born of a virgin." Could you imagine? We know, folks, they read the Old Testament. We know that they were looking for a Messiah. I mean, I don't know, but I'm wondering, at what point did the wheels begin to turn? Now? Me? This is prophecy fulfilled through me. I'm just a teenager. And then she goes into, like, this is amazing. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" Me? Really? All of this? Jesus, Son of the Most High? He's going to be Son of God. He's going to save his people from their sins. His kingdom will have no end. Me? Not even possible. And then the angel drops this bomb on her. "Listen, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Amazing. He goes on to tell her that Elizabeth, who was barren and impossible to have a child, she's now pregnant. He goes on to encourage this teenager. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. And I want you to see this, please. Verse 38, man, this is huge. Here's the decision right here. Here's the choice right here. She makes it. You got to get this, man. It's going to cost you something. She, as a teenager, comes to this place to be fearless, to be courageous, to be bold, to make a statement that is going to last with her for her life. This is her decision right here. She says this. Mary said, "Behold." She's like making an announcement. "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord." She understood what it was to serve the Lord. She already had this relationship with God. And her heritage as a Jew, she understood this. Who is God? She had this reverence of God. She had this fear of God Almighty, Yahweh. She understood God as creator. She understood that. And she comes to this place to say, "The bond slave, I've already belonged to him." Young people, do you already belong to God? She already called herself, "I'm a bond slave. I'm a bond servant. I'm already in. I've already come to this place to fear Yahweh God, my people's God, the one of the Old Testament God, the God of all creation, God who's chosen us as his people." Yet she understood who God was. You got to get that, because she didn't just wing this thing out, man. It just wasn't a guess. She understood, "I already have given to God my service." So where are you in that? Seriously, honestly, young people, where are you? College student, teenager, where are you? Have you come to the place to say, God, I'm already your servant? God, I already belong to you. And she says this. This is crazy. Look at this. This is amazing. You got to get this. You got to understand this. This is deep, and this follows her for the rest of her life. She says, bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. God, if this is what you have for me, she says, I'm in. Be it done to me according to your word. And gang, please hear this. If you think this is an easy journey for Mary, you haven't read this. She's making a very deep statement, saying, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, she says, I'm in. A teenager making that decision here, now, before the angel of the Lord, before Gabriel. I get it. I see this. And I accept. When you come to a place, honestly, to make a choice like this, and not think it's going to cost you something. See, because right after this, she goes, it's about 40 days later, after Jesus is born, she goes into the temple. And you've got this gentleman named Simeon who's in the temple. And this is where they are going, her and Joseph are going to dedicate Jesus to the temple. They're going to dedicate Jesus to God. And really like what we do, but they're just saying, listen, God, he's a gift from you. We understand the responsibility. We understand what you've laid in our lap. We understand the call that you've given us. And we're going to the temple. Now here you've got Simeon. He's been waiting. The Bible says that he wasn't even going to see death. God promised him, you're never going to die until you see the Messiah come. What an amazing promise. So when you see Mary coming up and he sees this child, he knows that this is the one. This is who I've been waiting for. And they walk in. I want you to see this, please. Luke 2. Verse 30, this is what Simeon says. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. I mean, listen, this is the Savior, man. This is the Messiah. He has come. Verse 32, it says, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. And look at verse 33. His father and mother, Joseph and Mary, were amazed at the things that were being said about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and then said to Mary, his mother, please hear this. I love this because Mary's already made the decision, man. Jesus is now born. She gets that there is just, this is real. And Simeon drops this on him. He says, listen, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. I mean, so many are going to come against him. Mary, you got to prepare for this because it's going to hurt. Listen, I'm not a mom, but I'm married to an amazing mom. And when things happen to your kids, I'm sure every mom in this place can relate. It happens to you. You feel it. You feel it. When your kids go through pain, you as a mom, you feel it. I'm sure you so desire to say, let me take that burden. Let me take some of your pain. As a mom, you feel it. And Simeon tells Mary, you're going to feel it, Mary. So many are going to come against him. They're going to oppose him. And then he says the most amazing words. He says, it is going to be as if your own soul has been pierced. Now we see in John 19, when Mary's at the foot of the cross and there her son is, after all that she had to go through, folks, all the people, and just as she's with her son, she sees people reject her son. She sees the Pharisees and the scribes hate her son. They see people all of his life, man. As soon as he started ministry, people started coming against Jesus. And then there's that moment. Her son gets arrested, gets shredded physically, mocked, spit on, beaten, and she knows her son. She knows. And he's perfect. He's never done. He's never once disobeyed. He's never once. He's perfect. You don't get it. And then they hang her son on a cross. And the Bible says at the feet of the cross, there's Mary. What was that like? Because now Mary's probably in her mid-40s. She made a decision. Get this, man. She made a decision as a teenager. Be it done to me according to your word. Mary, you make that choice, it's going to cost you. And now, in her 40s, she's at the feet of her son who's hanging on a cross. Just physically shredded. You don't think she felt every time that whip came across his back? You don't think she felt every time someone smacked him in the face? You don't think she felt when the crown of thorns was on his head and they're beating his head? You don't think she felt every single time he got punched? And here he is on a cross. It'll be as if your very own soul is pierced. And then all of a sudden, here comes the spear. Right through his side. Just maybe she went right back to those teenage years in that temple. When somebody said, listen, this isn't going to be easy. It'll be as if your very own soul is pierced. Can I just share what I believe in this? Because we don't see Joseph mentioned again after Jesus is 12 years old. Historians tell us that it is most likely that Joseph passed early in Jesus' life. So you know what that means? You know what that means? Mary, as a single mom, had to handle all of this. I tell you what, one thing, man, my heart goes out to moms who are single and trying to do everything that they can do to raise up the kids that God has given them in a way that they would walk out fearless, courageous, because they would see something in you, single mom, that is fearless and courageous. And God said to Joshua, listen, he says this, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Young people, hear this, please. Not just a good idea. God of all power, God of all might, God of all creation says, listen, haven't I commanded you? Listen, it is the greatest commandment. It is the most often given command from God to his people is be fearless. Do not be afraid. Over and over and over and over. It is the most common given command that God gives to us. Why would that be? He knows that this is not just lollipops and gumdrops. He knows that in our commitment to him, it's going to cost us something. And in that cost, are we going to stand? And are we going to be firm? And are we going to be steadfast? And are we going to walk in a great fear of God, hating evil? Are we going to come to the place where God says, haven't I commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. Could you get that, please, and recognize, God, I will be strong and I will be fearless and I will be courageous. I will not be afraid. I will not be dismayed or discouraged. God, I will not be beat down. Why? Because you are with me everywhere I go. Deuteronomy 31:6 says almost the same exact thing. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. He will never fail you and he will not forsake you. College students and teenagers, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. Honestly, from a biblical point of view, you've got no excuse. Yeah, but I'm the only one in my school. Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the only ones in among thousands and thousands, if not millions, who refused to bow. No excuse. Yeah, but I don't come from a family, man. I got saved at a young age, and I come on my own, and man, it's tough. Yes, it's tough, but God is with you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4, when you just really get it, God, you're with me. You never leave me. You'll never forsake me. God, you can't fail me. God, I'm in. Be it done to me according to your word. God, I get it. And I love this in Matthew 10. I just want to read this, please. This is Jesus, and he's speaking to a group of people, and he says this. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who does not deny himself, pick up his cross. Matthew 16 says the same thing. He says daily. What happens if you come to a place to surrender daily? Daily deny yourself. Daily pick up your cross. And daily follow him, because Jesus says, listen, if you can't do that, if you thought this was lollipops and gumdrops, and if you thought this wasn't going to cost you anything, you know what the King of Kings says? He says, you're not worthy of me. Wow! Come on, if you can bow your heads, please. This is the deal. This is your moment, man. This is your time as a teenager, from 12 to college. We have 12-year-olds in here. This is 12 to college. And then, please, again, man, this is not don't have sex. This isn't, oh, keep pure. Yeah, that's a huge part of life as one who's going to follow God. Absolutely. But this goes so much deeper than that. Be one who has a reverence of God. Be one who fears God. Be one who says, I will be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be one that says, man, I have made up my mind not to defy myself. Be one to say, if everyone else bows the knee, I will stand in the name of Jesus. Be one, as Esther says, listen, I'm going in, and if I perish, I perish. Be one as Mary, who says, listen, be it done to me according to your word. I know it's going to cost me something, but it's worth it. And today, here, now, you come to a place and say, that's me, man, that's me. And all the crazy that's around me, I'm going to stand for Christ. And I will not be afraid. Man, it is everything in my heart that wants to pray for you. No sense, folks. Honestly, I want you, honestly, when I ask you to, I want you to stand to your feet and let me pray over you, please. Because I know that you are seriously, man, the enemy hates you. And he hates this generation, and he has, honestly, man, he has got into this generation like I believe never before. And you are going to face things, and you're going to have to make decisions. The Bible says, hate evil, you who love the Lord. You're going to have to make serious decisions that I never had to make as a teenager. To say, God says that this is wrong, and you need to act on that. God says that he is the creator of the universe, and you got to act on that. There's different things that you are going to face that Satan is just pushing you, your generation, like never before. And you're going to be the one that's going to have to stand your ground. You're going to be the one who's not going to have to applaud people's sin. You're going to be the one who has to stand your ground and say, no, 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 no. As for me, man, I'm going to come to a place to say, God, I'm in. Be it done to me according to your word. I know that it's going to cost me something in my stand. But if I perish, I perish. I know it's going to cost me something in my stand. And if you throw me in the fiery furnace, it changes nothing. That's the call this morning. For Jesus said, Father, sanctify them in truth. And the word sanctify means to set apart. Do you realize, do you understand that you have been set apart, man? You are different from the world. You have light in you, and you have hope in you, and you have joy in you, and you have the Spirit of the living God reigning in you that overcomes all the world. And Jesus himself, crying out to the Father, says, sanctify him, God, please, please set him apart. For your word is true. Your word is truth. I would so desperately want to make a decision for you, but I cannot. Daniel's parents weren't around. Daniel's spiritual leader wasn't around. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's spiritual leader wasn't around. Esther was an orphan. You begin to say, I can stand on my own two feet. And so many times you're going to have to make a decision yourself with no one else around. So I'm asking you, would you please let me pray for you? And I need you to stand to your feet right now. You're 12 or a teenager or in college, man. I need you to stand to your feet if you would want me to say, make a decision today. This is not lollipops and gumdrops. This is you saying, I know it's going to cost me something. I know it's going to cost me something. Then I need all the parents to get to your teens and put your hands on your teens, please. Stand to your feet. And lay your hands on your teens. I need everybody who's been called to pray to find the parents, to lay hands on the parents. And this is how this is going to go. I can't even ask you to come up front because there's just too many. I just want you to stay where you're at. And I'm going to cover these teenagers and I'm going to pray, and I need you to hear it. And then you're going to have, I've already asked specific people, a prayer team to lay hands on the parents and then to pray for the parents to be fearless and courageous. And then, man, if there's just too many, I'm asking the prayer team to move on to the next parents and pray over them and cover them. This is one of the days, gang, that you put your stake in the ground and said it's different from today. I will not be afraid. I will not fear. I'll have great courage. What can man do to me? Honestly, if I trust God is all powerful, knows all things, everywhere all at once, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, what can man do to me? I will stand my ground. I will walk in the fear of God. I will be courageous and I will be strong, just as my God has commanded me. Come on, that you would get this. Come on, Father, please. God, that these teenagers are set apart. God, they're called. They're different, God. Your spirit reigns in them, God. There's life in them, Father, not death. Jesus, you took death, and we've come to you, and in the name of Jesus, there is life, not death. God, I thank you for these teens. God, I thank you for these college students that are willing this morning to say, today's different. Today I'm set apart. Today I walk in a fear of God. Today I walk in a reverence. Today I can say, be it done to me according to your word. God, it's going to cost me something, but greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. God, that's where it is, God, that we get it, that our eyes are open to the reality, God, that you reign in us and you'll never leave us. God, you will never fail us, God. That's your promise. And in that, God, we will not be afraid. God, cover these teenagers, please. God, cover these college students that they're in the midst of a serious fight. This is a battle. This is a battle for what's right. And God, you've put them on the front line. You've put them on the front line, God. For today forward, they say it could cost me something, but I stand. I stand. Not be ashamed. I will be bold and I will be steadfast and I will not be moved. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm asking the prayer team just to begin to cover these parents. Put your hands on these parents and just begin to cover them for discretion and discernment, for an abundance of love and grace, to love these teens just as God has loved them, to stand and be the example for the teenagers in their home, to have patience and grace. Man, please, as Olivia sings, man, I'm asking that you would just take time to pray. And if you are in a seat, man, I'm asking that you would just begin to pray around you, please. Please, in Jesus' name, come on. Hallelujah.